2 Timothy 13 through 17, which we did read, but I will read again. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, however, continue in the tidings, in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that a man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. This idea of being adequately equipped, the whole point of this is that we would be thoroughly furnished for every good work. And remember this, the idea here is every good work toward others. Jesus said that the two great commandments was to love the Lord thy God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And I agree with the people who have said before, and I repeat it now. If you claim to be saved and you're not doing something that is beneficial to the neighbors around you, I doubt if you're really saved. Because he says that we will do those things. They will know us as Christians by the love that we have one for another. And he says you can't love God if you don't love your neighbor whom you've seen or whom you do see. Therefore, if your Christianity is focused on what you think you can get out of it, and it's all about me, 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 you're either a very, very new Christian, or one that has a stunted growth and has issues with that, or you're not really saved, because as we read the Scripture, we become equipped for every good work, and this is to be beneficial to other people in the world. As it was talking about, though, also, but evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is an idea that I'd like to pick up with, is we are living in a time when there are impostors who are deceiving, they are wicked people, and we need to be really aware of what's going on. It's written in Scripture that the children of this age are more knowledgeable in the things that's going on than we who are children of the age to come. For one thing, we believe in the goodness of other people. We expect other people to treat us good because we try to treat them good and we want them to think good of us, and therefore we try to think positive. One guy I was just a while back was talking to, he moved up here, and he said, you know what I'm amazed about is most of the people around here, the first time they meet you, they respect you. You don't have to earn it. But if they lose respect for you, they expect you to earn it back, and it's not an easy road to hoe there. And I'm going, that's true. Most of us around here expect and we receive people and we respect what they have to say and we try to learn and be friends with them. But the two things I would like to point out about evil people, wicked people, and you can read this in the Scripture, like Psalms 10 and verse 2. I'm going to read a very small portion of it here. The pride of the wicked hotly pursues the weak. Now that's the first part of that verse. The main issue is a wicked person is an arrogant, prideful person. A wicked person has this pride and they hotly pursue the weak, the afflicted. There's different translations for that word weak there. These people, they have this idea that whatever they declare is the absolute truth and you should submit to their ideas. Even though their ideas can change from minute to minute or day to day or week to week, whatever they're going for, they are saying, this is it! And they're in your face with this. They are arrogant toward people, and it says they are hotly pursuing this idea with these people. They are demanding, and that's one of the other issues of a wicked person. Not only are they arrogant in their pride, like, I know it all, I've got it together, you should submit to me. They're very aggressive about this. We hear people talk about abusive. There are abusive people, but there are verbally abusive people also. And that's that idea of hotly pursuing, even if it's just verbal abuse. They are hotly pursuing it, and they are very aggressive. They don't want you to just to hear what they have to say. They are demanding that you not only hear it, but you acknowledge what they believe or what they say they believe, at least at that moment, as absolute truth. And they demand that you live by that truth, or at least until they change it. And the last of Psalm, or not the last, but the other part of a Psalm, verse 10, that I would like to read is the first part of verse 7. It says, "His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression." These people are actively, verbally pushing their idea and demanding that you submit according to what they say. And one person, C.S. Lewis, said that, now, got to get this right. He said that in Psalms, you would think that the wicked person is more concerned about shoving their wickedness off on people, and that they would be using knives or clubs, or, and this is my addition, pitchforks and torches like you used to see in the old movies, and they would come at you, bullying you to do it. But the psalmist usually will say the wicked person is doing it with their mouth. His mouth is filled with cursing, with deceit, and oppression. Most problems that are started in this world are people who are mouthing, deceiving, and they start this and they keep pushing it and pushing it on other people until they get the crowd all worked up in a frenzy. And it can take quite a while, and they will plan this kind of stuff ahead of time. They will be pushing this idea until finally the crowd comes together and we grab those clubs and those torches and pitchforks and we march on whatever or whoever personage or people that have been aggressively bad-mouthed. And people don't really stop to think about what was actually said. Was what was told to us an actual truth? And we finally cave in, or most people will cave in and go with it because they have heard it repeatedly from different people. As one of Hitler's guys said, if you tell a lie, make it a big one and repeat it a lot, because if you lie enough on that subject, people will come to accept that as the truth. So they were speaking what Psalm said. They aggressively deceive and they oppress and they curse and they point out and they make up stuff about people that they are wanting to overcome. And so in the last days, and now we can see it, they're turning on us. Not just here in America. We're just starting to see the beginnings of it. But in other countries like India, China, Indonesia, several of the Islamic countries, this is what's going on, and they're blaming it on us. Any bad thing, it's our fault. I heard one where it said it's all their fault because they're nothing but poor people who are absorbing everything we have. We have nothing left because they're just doing nothing and they absorb it. The next time you hear these people talk, they say, they are nothing but the rich people who are oppressing everybody. Well, how can they be both the poor people who's taking away, but at the same time you're saying these same group of people are the rich people who's taking away? But they're always taking away from people, and they tell this lie enough till everybody starts going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, the ones who are really taking away is the wicked people, is the liars and the cheats. They're the ones that are taking away, and they're taking away freedoms from us. But we are always to remember who we are, and we are to be thoroughly furnished, reading the inspired Word of God. We are to be thoroughly furnished, able to give a defense of what we believe. But before that, we have to understand what is actually being said. So it's important that we do know what the Word of God says. Now, this is just an example of something that's happened in the last few days. And I've got a fancy bookmark here that if you open it up, it works really well to hold your place. And when you have a birthday, if you come up, you'll be able to get one of these also. Now, with that advertisement done, if in Ezekiel chapter 16, I will tell you what's going on over here. What has happened, if most people don't follow this, but I do, I have a history with this particular denomination, the United Methodist Church. They had their big quadrennial, I hope I said it right, conference meeting, and all the bishops and all these delegations came from all over the world because they are a worldwide denomination. And the idea was they have a, like we have a constitution, they have what they call the Book of Discipline. And there was going to be a vote on this Book of Discipline. In the discipline, it says that people who are openly practicing homosexuality in some form or another, they cannot be members fully participating, they can't be ordained, they can't, and they did not recognize their marriages. In the Book of Discipline, this was passed back in the 1970s early on, and the vote was to change that rule in the Book of Discipline. And they had a big vote, and it passed that they would not change it, not by a great majority, but by a minority, by a small percentage, but it did pass that they would not change it. There was a lot of people upset with it because they said, you know, people who talk about the sins of Sodom, sodomy and sodomy, and they would turn over now, they've been doing this quite frequently, to Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, and it says this, "Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, abundant food, and careless ease, but she did not help the poor and the needy." And they said, that is the sin of Sodom. That is the iniquity. That is the failure of Sodom, is they were rude, they were inconsiderate, they didn't share, and that is why God judged them. Now, it sounds good because they're using the scripture and they're backing up what they say, and a lot of people have fallen for that argument. But if you will read before and after that, let's just start with 44, "Behold, everyone who quotes Proverbs will quote this Proverbs concerning you. Like mother, like daughter, you are the daughter of your mother, who is loathed by her husband and children. You are also the sister of your sisters, who loathe their husbands and children. Your mother is a Hittite, and your father an Amorite." And then it goes on, let's drop down a little bit. "Yet you have not merely walked in their ways." I'll just start at verse 46 again. "Now your older sister is Samaria, who lives north of you with her daughters, and your younger sister, who lives south of you, is Sodom with her daughters. Yet you have not merely walked in their ways or done according to their abominations, but as if they were too little, you acted more corruptly than in all your conduct than they. As I live, declares the Lord God, Sodom your sister and her daughters have not done as you and your daughters have done. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom, and her daughters had arrogance, abundance of food, careless ease, but she did not help the poor and the needy. Thus they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I removed them when I saw them." Notice how they picked that one little verse, which, by the way, verses were something that was added to the scripture. It wasn't in the original books. It was added there for our convenience so we could all flip over in our pages, in our Bibles, and find those so we'd have references to easily, quickly come to this point. But they use this as though this was the definitive term that I read to you. It was arrogance, it was rudeness, it was they had too much ease in their lifestyle. But they leave out the words, or they leave out the verses before it, they leave out the verses after it where it talks about their abominations. Their abominations that they committed. And that is why they were destroyed. The rudeness, the ease were sidebar issues, but he brought up the abominations that Sodom and Gomorrah had committed twice. They also did not go back to the original mention. Remember your hermeneutics, how to read the scripture and understand them. You go back to the place where it's first talked about to gain insight into what it's talking about later, because the later prophets and writers will go all the way back to Genesis, they read the account there, and then they just make reference, and they expect you to go back and to know the Word of God and what it's talking about. So you go back to the original, back in Genesis, and read the account there, and that is what they're not wanting us to do. They quote one little passage, one little sentence, and say, that was what was wrong, it wasn't anything else. And that is the deception that they are putting upon people. And then after it got voted down, they started having these demonstrations walking around demonstrating. Now, I would like to read to you also Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. And this is what Isaiah says. They look on their faces. The look on their faces testified against them. They parade their sins like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them, for they have brought disaster upon themselves. They parade their sins like Sodom. And so after the vote went against them, it said, one account said there was a small demonstration, but other people said there was a demonstration. They didn't like it. The arrogance, the pride, they got in people's faces. They started having this demonstration. And one person who said, I was kind of open to this idea till I saw what they were doing at the demonstration. And I said, these people are not right. And changed their mind about which way to go. I'm bringing all this up not so that we will condemn these people, because every person can have their sins forgiven. It doesn't matter what. Even Paul talks about this group of people, and they have their sins can be forgiven. He says that in the Scripture. Any of us have committed sins also, and we can have our sins forgiven. Therefore, they can have their sins forgiven. And that's the idea, is he said, don't stay in your sins, but turn away from your sins. But if you don't, you're going to be bringing disaster upon yourself. Now, the last part was in Timothy that I would like to read. I know this is a lot of reading, but we are supposed to be learning the Scriptures and understanding the whole unit. The division of chapter 4 was something artificial that was added in there. It actually should just go right from the last verse of chapter 3 into chapter 4. The last one of 3, remember, said, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And then he goes and says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myth. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. We are charged in the presence of God to know what's coming, and we are charged in the presence of God to be ready at all times to be able to give a good reason why we stand on the truth the way we do. And when we hear them say, the Bible says, we need to start calling everybody on it and say, where does it say that? Show it to me in the Scripture. What's the context of what you're quoting? Is there something before it? Is there something after it that you don't want me to read? Because I want to know the whole situation before I acknowledge what you're saying is true, because people have a tendency to edit everything they say. Now, like I said, and have said before, the Scriptures are there. They're the Word of God. Do not take me at my word. Read the Scriptures for yourself and make sure that I'm putting them in proper context. But we are charged here by Paul. He's speaking specifically to Timothy, but it also will come down to us. We are the Church of Jesus Christ, and we are charged to share the Word of God. And that last part, we are to do the work of an evangelist. Well, Billy Graham was an evangelist. Well, he was an evangelist. But we are to do the work of an evangelist. And that just means this. We are to be bringers of good news. We are to be people who are positive in this dark world. We are people who are to be telling others, hey, there is a better way in life. You can have a better life. I was talking to somebody yesterday who was very bummed out. And I was like, finally, I just looked at him and I said, dude, you've got a bad self-image problem. I want you to know that you're all right. Jesus cares about you. You are made in the image of God originally. Know that, and don't let people beat you down. You need to come to understand your origins. And I was trying to communicate all of this to him and to the people that was listening in on the conversation. And he was like, really? Yeah. I think you're all right. And there's a lot of people who you are better than because I know them personally. And he's like, really? Yes! He acted like nobody had ever said anything positive to him in his life. We are bringers of good news. We're to say to people, you were made originally in the image of God. We have all fallen, we've all made mistakes, but you have an opportunity to become a child of the Most High. Not just the image of God, but a child of the Most High. You can be better than you are. You are a person who can make choices. Recognize your issues and your problems. Ask God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ and turn to Him. We're to be doing this stuff. We're to be doing this stuff because, and this should be our motivation, we're to do it for our children, for the children, for the grandchildren, and for the great-grandchildren. Because if we don't stand up against this tide of darkness, it will continue to sweep right across us and everybody else. And there are people now, secular people, who are saying, from all the signs and what we are seeing across the world is about to go back into a period that will be comparable to the Dark Ages. To the Dark Ages in Europe. That was not a pleasant time to live in. And they're saying, all the signs are indicating it. All the politics, all the issues that we're dealing with look like we're in for a collapse of the world system. And if we have that, we will go back to what would be known as dark ages or dark times. But we are the children of the light. And therefore we need to be out there shining forth the truth of God. We must know God and we must know His Word. And when I talk about knowing God, I'm talking about we've got to have that personal relationship. And one of the proofs of our personal relationship is showing forth His goodness to other people. We are required to show our love to our neighbors. The second thing we need to do is pray. And once you've done that, pray some more. And if you've done that, you prayed and you prayed some more, then hit it really hard again. Because we are the ones that are going to be praying against the darkness. We are also to be reproving, rebuking, and that just means we are to stand up and say, that is not true. You're not telling the truth here. They're going to hate us. We are going to be persecuted. We are going to be called liars. And yet we've got to hold the ground. When I say reprove and rebuke, that doesn't mean with harshness. It doesn't mean to do it hatefully. It doesn't mean to do it with superiority. And it doesn't mean, though, to be timid about it. We're to call people on it when we realize it and say, no, that's not what it says. No, you can't prove that. This is the inspired Word of God. You can hang your hat on it because it's truth. And I can show you in the Scripture because the Bible always says, if a prophet tells you something's going to happen, it's got to happen. And if that person's prophecy doesn't come to pass, then whatever he's telling you is not the Word of God, and then just throw it all out. Don't believe what he's saying. Walk away from it. And they don't want us to get people to look at the Scripture and see the fulfillment of prophecies in any way because it causes them to start backing down and they lose ground. And no matter what, we are never to waver or give place to the evil that's in this world, to the darkness that's in this world. Yep, we've all been touched by darkness. Paul says, we were all like them. We don't have anything to brag about. We, in times past, stumbled around in the dark, but a great light has shined upon us, and we have beheld the glory of Jesus Christ, granted through a veil darkly, through a mirror, through a filter, and we haven't got perfection yet. We haven't become flawless people. But that day is coming when He does show up. But until then, we keep reading the Word. We keep contemplating. We keep praying and communicating and seeking His presence. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We should seek that every day and say, I want you to be with me today. Glenwood, we are, in this area, the bringers of good news. No matter how bad their lives are, no matter what their addictions are, no matter what their past is like, that's exactly what it is. It's past. And they can change from this time on once they accept Jesus Christ. And when they accept that, we are continually be praying for these people that we know and encouraging them to keep reading their Scripture, keep seeking the truth, and keep walking forward, looking steadfastly into the face of Jesus Christ, and their life will change. And we, even though we're here, and some of us have been in churches, it'll be 50 years in next year or so that I became a Christian. And I am still to be looking steadfastly into the face of God without wavering and walking toward the light at all times and sharing His good news, because I can testify that I've been changed. And if you knew me from earlier years, you know I've been changed. But this is what our charge is, and He's the one that charged us with it. Be and do the work of an evangelist. Now, at this time, the one thing that He also told us to do is we are to take communion. We are to observe the Lord's Supper. He didn't say we had to observe Christmas. He didn't say we were supposed to observe Easter season. But He said we are to observe the Lord's table, because this is proof that the devil doesn't like that this is a contract. Everything in this scripture is a contract, a covenant to us. And we can live our life based on that contract, because God does not lie.